Hello, everybody. My name is Hayden Paul, and I am here with my beautiful wife, Savannah. What's up, babe?
Hello.
So this is episode one of I Stand at the Door, a podcast that is geared towards helping youth, parents, and church leaders in the fight against pornography. Now, the reason we're starting this is because in my personal experience with pornography, which, you know, I struggle with pornography from the age of 13 to 23. I found it really hard to really get any help because I was afraid to talk about it. And it's because it's a taboo subject. And Satan loves that we don't want to talk about it because it allows for, you know, those who are struggling with it to hide in the shadows and to never reach out and get help. And, you know, in my experience, I mean, who knows how extensive the problem is, but at least in my, you know, small experience, 98% of dudes struggle with this issue in some degree or another, you know, there's varying degrees, and, you know, close to 50% of women. And we need to attack this problem head on. You know, we're not there, these blanket, you know, solutions don't work with this sort of problem. Unfortunately, you can't just pray pornography away. Unfortunately, you can't just read your scripture so much that you just completely get rid of the desire to look at pornography. But you have to take actual steps that are specific towards this problem. Now, prayer and scripture study are foundational to recovery, but it's not all. And so what we hope is that through this podcast, we can start a culture of openness and of understanding when it comes to the issue of pornography, and that we will inspire people to come to Christ. In no way am I, or my wife, or anyone on here going to say that we know everything and that we know exactly what you need to do to overcome pornography. You know, recovery is a personal issue, and it's going to be your personal relationship with Jesus Christ that is going to allow healing to happen. Now, throughout these podcasts, I'm going to share insights that I have learned, as well as insights that other people have learned when it comes to how to overcome pornography. I'll share practical things that you can incorporate. And if you feel inspired to do so, then yes, incorporate those things. But just know that you are going to have to work personally with God in order to figure out what you need to do specifically to overcome this problem. Because although all of our stories may be similar when it comes to our experience with pornography, they're not the exact same. And you need to work to find out what is going to help you overcome this problem. So to do that, my wife and I are going to start by laying a foundation, a foundational concept having to do with shame. And so, honey, talk a little bit about what it is that we're going to read today and what the backstory is to it.
Sure. So our reason for naming our podcast, I Stand at the Door, is based off a scripture in the Bible, and I'll share it. It's Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. So Hayden and I have pondered this concept of Jesus Christ knocking at a door and having it be our responsibility to let him in. And we've written a short story together that kind of helps to apply this concept a little bit more personally into our lives. Whether it's a pornography problem that you're struggling with or any other variety of sin out there that you're struggling with, we hope to help you understand maybe why you're not letting the Savior in quite yet, and maybe how you can build up the courage and the faith to allow him to come into your life and help you. So we invite you to ponder on those things as Hayden shares this story entitled I Stand at the Door that we've written together.
All right, and just hop right into it. I heard a knock at the door. I wasn't expecting company. Who could it be? As I stumbled through the dark and cluttered living room, a bright gleam caught my eye. It burst through the peephole and between the cracks around the edges of the door. It seemed as if an avalanche of light was weighing on the other side, waiting to crash through and fill the house with unquenchable radiance. As I neared the fire-encircled door, I felt a warmth that replaced the damp cold of my house. Who or what could be on the other side of the door? Curiously, I eked out the words, "Hello? Who's there?" With a voice that defied all description, a voice filled with such confidence and humility, a voice that seemed to melt my very bones, he spoke my name and said, "It's me." "It can't be. Why would he come here? Why to me? Why now?" "I'm sorry, this isn't really a good time." "If not now, when?" I turned and scanned my small one-room home. The sink was overflowing with dirty dishes, and the counters were covered in crumbs and a variety of sticky substances. My bed was unmade and covered in old laundry. My shoes, clothes, and grease-stained pizza boxes were scattered across the floor. Boxes of old memories lined the walls and spilled into the room. I hadn't yet dared to go through them for fear of being overcome by the shame and regret they represented. I felt like the number of boxes multiplied exponentially, making the clutter more difficult to manage. The stacks got taller and more intimidating the longer I looked at them. I'd have to move some to let my guests inside. If I kept letting the junk pile up like this, I'd end up like my neighbor down the street. The number of boxes in his house was so staggering, he just didn't answer the door anymore. It took too much energy to move them out of the way. Then my gaze was captured by the corner, the darkest corner of the room. I couldn't actually see the corner because of the array of boxes that enshrouded it, but the soft glow of my computer monitor crawled through the cracks between the boxes, reminding me of my secret. I had tried over and over again to delete the search history on that computer, but to no avail. The thought of anyone ever seeing it sent a shiver down my spine. "I'm quite busy right now. Is there something I can help you with?" "I've not come to seek help, but to give it." "I'm all right, thank you. There's nothing in here I can't handle." I knew that that was a lie. I looked around the room again, overwhelmed by the thought of anyone seeing the filth I'd been living in. All my past attempts to get my house in order had left me completely discouraged. In my heart of hearts, I knew that he could rid my house of the boxes. All I'd ever managed to do was move them around. I waited for an answer, then realized his silence was his reply. "Please just go. You have no business being here." Meekly, he replied, "I have no other business. You are my business." Why was he so persistent? There were millions of people with cleaner houses who would be better hosts than I. I don't think you understand how dirty it is in here. I could feel the compassion in his voice. "I don't think you understand how clean I can make it." I didn't doubt his ability to make it clean, but I knew the minute I opened the door, the light he exuded would illuminate every stain, revealing every surface I had allowed to accumulate with dust and grime, and everything I neglected to fix. It wasn't necessarily pleasant living in the dark, but at least the darkness hid the reality of my situation. Plus, I wasn't even sure I was ready to part with the junk. Sure, it was messy, but it was familiar and comfortable. Silence. He then spoke my name, pleading. "I feel guilty about letting you come in and clean up my mess on your own." He chuckled. "Well, we're going to do it together." I walked further away from the door, pacing back and forth among the walls lined with boxes, wondering if I should really let him in. What would he think of me when he saw how filthy it really was? What if the mess was too much even for him, and he gave up just as I had? I looked around again for what seemed like hours. I fought within myself. Exhausted, I sighed. "Fine. Come in. You know as well as I that you have to let me in." Reluctantly, I made my way to the door. With every step, my heart beat faster and sunk further into my gut. I reached for the doorknob in fear. Everything in my mind told me not to open it. But the light like a magnet, pulled me closer and closer. The moment I turned the knob, his light burst through the door. All I could see was him, as if I were in a tunnel and all else was blocked from my vision. Immediately, it felt as if 1,000,000 pounds had been lifted off my shoulders. Light warmed my skin like the sun after the coldest night. I was drinking cool water after the longest drought. I was being reunited with someone I loved after the longest separation. He looked at me with a love that spilled into every crevice of my heart. I needed him here. I no longer feared his presence, but craved it. His light brought a hope that I had forgotten to feel. He handed me a broom and said, "Let's get to work." Now, this story is based on a painting by Del Parson. The name of the painting is Jesus Standing at the Door. And in this painting, he depicts Christ standing in front of a door without a doorknob. And Christ is knocking, as we read earlier in Revelation 3:20. And it's up to us to use our agency, our free will, to let him into our lives. Now, how do we do that, and why don't we? Now, a big way that we do that is by seeking help with the resources he has given us. You know, our family members, our church leaders, through the scriptures, through prayer. That is how we let Christ into our lives. And in my opinion, I think the reason why we don't is because of shame. Because we're afraid that our house is too messy. And what we do, and I can only speak for myself when it comes to pornography, what I always did was, and I think a lot of you can probably empathize with this, but what I would do is just make these dumb deals where it's like, okay, I'm going to go a week or 2 weeks or a month or 2 months without looking at pornography. Then I'm going to ask for help from my parents. Then I'm going to go talk to my church leaders and ask for help. Then I'm going to start praying regularly. And what this does is it just allows for these boxes to build up and build up. And if we're not careful, we can get to the point where, just like the neighbor in the story, we just see too big of an obstacle. And not because it's impossible do we not open the door and let Christ in, but because we've given up. It seems like too much work, and we feel hopeless. And so it's so important that we use the resources that Christ has afforded us to access his grace, and that we don't allow shame to keep us from opening that door. Now, honey, what is something that you learned while writing this?
I think one part of the story that stands out the most to me is when the person in the story is saying, "You have no business being here," almost like, "I don't want you here." And Jesus responds and says, "I have no other business. You are my business." That is so true, that the whole point of Jesus Christ ever existing and coming to earth, performing the atonement, doing anything in his life, was to make it possible for us to become better than we are. Now, that's a choice that we have to make, right? This is a gift that Jesus Christ has given us, but nothing is going to work until we decide we're going to apply that in our lives. So the minute we open the door, the minute we say, "I'm going to allow Jesus Christ to change me," is the minute that we receive divine, perfect help from the Son of God, who knows us better than we know ourselves, right? He knows what we need to become perfected, to become better tomorrow. He knows so much better than we do. And so why are we waiting so long? Just like Hayden was saying, so many of us, I mean, every single one of us sins and has struggles, right? Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's something completely different. But the longer we wait to turn to Jesus Christ because we're embarrassed, the longer we are just putting off that divine help that he can give us.
Mm-hmm. I remember very specifically the first time that I really opened that door when it came to, you know, overcoming my struggle with pornography. I had lied about it for years. I'd been asked specifically by church leaders whether or not I struggled with pornography and if they could help me with it if I did. And I looked in their eyes and I said no. You know, that was Christ. Them asking that question was Christ knocking at the door, saying, hey, I have someone here that wants to help you. And I felt too ashamed, and so I didn't let him in. I remember when I finally did, I was 18 years old, and I was talking to a priesthood leader. Finally, the shame became so overwhelming that at the end of the day, I was just like, whatever. Whatever happens, whatever he thinks of me, it's going to be way better than the pain that I feel living in this dirty house. And so I told him that I'd been struggling with pornography for years. And immediately, just like it's described in that story, I just felt this overwhelming just weight lifted off my shoulders. And for the first time, I had real hope. And it was because I finally opened myself up to the Savior. Now, sometimes we feel weird about confession. Some people feel weird about confession in the church. Like, why do I have to tell some dude that I have this struggle? Like, what does that do? Why can't I keep it just between me and God? And there's a few reasons why. One is because it's humbling, you know, to tell someone else, you know, these dark things about yourself that you don't like. It humbles you and it allows you to have the Spirit with you. The other reason is because confession is not just confessing that you are sinful, but it's also confessing that you believe that the Savior can make you whole. Really, confession is a testimony, because you would not go and tell someone that unless you actually believed that Christ could help you. And so it's bearing your testimony. It's standing before someone and saying, I believe that Christ can change me, and this is what I need help with. And then the other reason is because, you know what, we as Christians make up the body of Christ figuratively, meaning that each one of us holds Christ-like attributes. None of us hold all of the Christ-like attributes, but all of us hold some of them. And when we work together, it is as if Christ is working with us. And so when we use these resources, when we use, you know, our brothers and sisters in this fight, we are allowing Christ into our life in a very real sense. And so my invitation to those who are listening that maybe have not made that step of confession, have not humbled themselves enough, just do it, please. It will change your life. When I look at all the things that I treasure in my life, my relationship with Savannah, my relationship with God and the gospel, I can trace it back to that decision that I made to confess and finally allow Christ into my life. Now, once that happens, it's not like the fight's over. You know, it still took, you know, 3 years of working really hard to get to the point where I don't look at pornography anymore and it's not, you know, in the forefront of my mind every day. But it is the first step. And after that, you know, Christ is going to come in and you are going to work in tandem with him to overcome this problem. This podcast's purpose is to just share a few tools and ways that you can work with Christ in order to overcome pornography. You know, very practical tools such as, you know, charging your phone in a different room because, you know, having your phone in your bedroom at night triggers you to look at pornography. Something practical like that, and a lot of other practical things, and, you know, some more spiritual oriented things like indexing. These are tools that are going to allow you to access the grace of Jesus Christ and to clean your house. And we hope that you listening to this can either better understand the problem that faces our youth, or better understand the problem that you are facing, or that a loved one of yours is facing, and that together we can create a culture of understanding and get rid of shame, and allow Christ's grace to rule in our lives. Babe, do you have any thoughts that you want to end with before we close up?
Sure. I just want to focus again on just the very end of the story where we finally open the door, right? And we finally see the hope and the light that Jesus Christ brings into that home. I think a lot of times we get so embarrassed and we get worried that, you know, what is Jesus going to think of me? He's going to see that I'm so imperfect and he's going to be so disappointed. But just think about the light that Jesus Christ brings. All he wants to do is help. He is not here to judge. He is not here to make us feel less than we are, or to say, I'm so angry or I'm so frustrated with you. But the Savior brings hope that we are not going to find anywhere else. Like Hayden and I said, we are not experts. We are not perfect. We don't have all the answers. But I know that we can both testify of the healing power of Jesus Christ and the hope that has entered our lives as we have allowed him to come in and help us through our weaknesses.
What a great way to end. This is the first episode of I Stand at the Door. I am one of your hosts, Hayden.
And I'm Savannah Paul. Thank you so much for listening.